Help us, O God, to be masters of ourselves, that we may become the servants of others. Take our lips and speak through them, our minds and think through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire, for Christ's sake. Amen. Have you ever woken up on a Sunday morning and thought, I wonder what I will experience at St. Francis this morning? Am I to expect the expected, or the familiar, or the usual? Or might I be surprised by a phrasing in the words of a song, or a reading, or a prayer, or perhaps be stirred by God's grace at the Eucharist? Or might I be touched by the hospitality of a stranger or the warmth of a friend? Or moved by the tenderness of parents presenting their children for baptism? In our gospel reading, on that particular day of worship, a Sabbath day in Galilee, worshippers walked through the streets of Nazareth, passed by olive trees under the dry, hot sun, shook off the dust in their sandals, and gathered at the local synagogue. Was it for them just another Sabbath day with the expected and the familiar and the usual? Or did they know that Jesus had wandered back to Nazareth after being tempted in the desert and was now filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? Or was it just another day for them at the synagogue? On that day, Jesus unrolled the scroll of Isaiah and read intently from what we know as Isaiah chapter 61. And he read with such authority and deliberation, it was hard for those listening to tell whether Jesus was just reading Holy Scriptures or whether he was talking about himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery to the sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He read, rolled up the scroll, walked quietly to his chair, and sat down. All eyes on the synagogue were fixed on him. This was a familiar passage for the devout Jew, a passage that captured the promise of new life, the hope of deep meaning and purpose, when the Israelites returned from exile in Assyria several centuries before. Perhaps Jesus' reading that day resurrected that sense of promise and hope for some, and that they were moved to more intently serve others, the poor, the needy, and the oppressed. Jesus' words then and his words to us now might be moving some of us into deeper expressions and practice of our faith. For others, Jesus read with such authority that no doubt some were wondering, was he reading about himself? That there before their eyes was the Messiah who had finally come to deliver them from Roman oppression and usher in a new era of God's favor? In this year of the Lord's favor, might their land be returned to them, and might they be freed from the occupation of their enemies? What relief it might have been to hear that this scripture and their longings on that day have been fulfilled. Jesus' words can meet us in our longings for deliverance from what weighs us down, whether then or now. But on that day and in that synagogue, there were also some who knew the Hebrew scriptures well enough to know what Jesus had left out. Wait, don't roll up the scroll just yet. Check it, and check it again. Doesn't it say in Isaiah that the Son of Man came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and also the day of vengeance of our God? Did Jesus really leave out vengeance? Did he really have to do that? And if so, what do we do with how we feel about our enemies, our oppressors, and the people we fear? Jesus knew then that leaving out vengeance was radical, that it was far easier to just love those who love us and still hold on to fear and hatred. So on that day, Jesus proclaimed his mission statement, to minister and to heal, to proclaim God's favor to all, not only to the Jews, but also to their oppressors and enemies. God's compassion and love supersede vengeance. God has enough grace for all, even for people we do not like, people we're afraid of, people we're uncomfortable with. And we cannot have it both ways. We cannot proclaim God's favor and exact vengeance or hope for retribution at the same time. Vengeance is no more. On that day, Jesus proclaimed that there is no longer us and them. To rejoice as followers of Jesus is to seek not just the well-being of those in our own community, but also for those who are on the outside. And this takes courage and goes against the grain of who we are. Vengeance has its own energy, and sometimes it feels good to release it. But here we are called to let it go and find favor and God's favor for all. Last weekend, we honored Martin Luther King, who found courage to seek God's favor for all, not just for African Americans, but for all Americans. Vengeance is no more. Archbishop Desmond Tutu found courage to seek God's favor for all after apartheid was dismantled in South Africa. Instead of punishing the oppressors, he advocated for truth-telling that led to forgiveness and reconciliation, recognizing the humanity in everyone. Vengeance is no more. 3 years ago, Malala Yousafzai was 15 when a Taliban gunman boarded her school bus in Pakistan and shot her because she was promoting education for young girls such as herself. She miraculously survived the attack and has become an international symbol of peace and education. These were her courageous words when she spoke to the UN on her 16th birthday. The terrorists thought they would change my aims and stop my ambitions, but nothing changed my life except this. Weakness, fear, and hopelessness died. Strength, power, and courage was born. I'm not against anyone. Neither am I here to speak in terms of personal revenge against the Taliban or any other terrorist group. I am here to speak up for the right of education for every child. I want education for the sons and daughters of the Taliban and all terrorists and extremists. Vengeance is no more. Closer to home, Ryan Reyes was still mourning the death of his boyfriend, Daniel Kaufman, who was gunned down in San Bernardino during the recent terrorist attack. At the memorial service for Kaufman, Reyes was approached by four Muslim leaders offering flowers and their tearful condolences. And he was so moved by how they had risked their personal safety to pay their respects. He had many reasons to hate those who have killed someone he loves. But Reyes instead has been speaking out about the need to embrace and to not ostracize the Muslim community. Vengeance is no more. It takes courage to choose to extend favor beyond those we already love, to extend favor to those who are different and those we are afraid of. Today we witness the baptisms of Olivia and Jake Barnes and receive them into the household of God. This is a joyous day in the life of our church. 2 weeks ago, JR spoke on how baptism is a dangerous thing, and indeed it is. Some might consider baptism as an experience that separates us from others as we welcome new members into our community of faith. Yet our hope here is not to build our comfortable community where we love each other well, which we do, and keep away from those we fear. Baptism is actually meant to be the great equalizer and unifier. Rather than creating a new barrier of us and them, it is an affirmation that we as a community will together break down the barriers that keep us from being light in the world. Our baptisms call us to live courageously against our most natural tendencies to separate from those who are different and those we fear. Today we receive Olivia and Jake into the household of God, and we are proclaiming God's favor and our favor on them. Yes, we will love on them and support their parents, Catherine and Nicholas, in raising them. And we will try our best to do that. But we will also do more than that. We are not only welcoming them into the church, we are also inviting them to live out the church's mission together. 2 weeks ago, we renewed our baptismal covenant together, and we will do so today again. That baptismal covenant is our mission statement, that we commit to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbor as ourselves. We commit to strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. We commit to proclaiming God's favor to all, and we commit to a world where there is no room for vengeance and retribution, for hatred and fear. May God help us find courage to recognize and leave behind our fears, and may God lead us and call us each through our gifts and our mission to proclaim God's favor to all. Amen.